He says that one who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. So what Lord Krishna is saying is that to actually be able to engage in unalloyed devotional service, we have to be thoroughly convinced of the glory of the Lord. Glories of the Lord means we have to have proper understanding of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. It is natural, isn't it, that when we come to know about the greatness of somebody, then we automatically become subservient, surrendered, and we start adoring that individual. Isn't it? Sometimes it happens, we are talking with some person. Sometimes somebody may come first time to our program, we'll be talking, we'll be, oh, how are you? I'm from here, they were from there. And then after some time, another devotee will come and say, Prabhu, do you know who this person is? Do you know who he is? He's a Prabhupada disciple. He has been preaching in all these communist countries and making thousands of devotees and risking his life and doing so many big, big services. He has spent so much time serving Prabhupada. He is the temple president of here, he is this, he is that. I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me earlier? After you find out the true glories of the individual, will you behave in the same way as you were behaving earlier? Maybe earlier somebody may have told you, Prabhu, he is a great devotee. Okay. I have heard that all devotees are great devotees. I have been hearing that. But when we specifically know the glories of an individual, our outlook towards him altogether changes. Isn't it? That is how the film industry works. They have tons and tons of magazines talking. Of course, most of them is simply gossip. But to create this larger than life images of fallible stars, they speak so many things. So the idea is when we factually understand the glories of an individual, we actually become subservient. We start worshipping, we start adoring. So that is why for us to actually advance in spiritual consciousness, it is very important for us to understand the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as it is. Prabhupada says, it is not simply enough to know God is great. We ask anybody, they will say, yes, God is great. But if we ask them, how God is great, please tell me. How many can actually describe how God is great? For that, Krishna is himself telling us. How we can understand his greatness? Why? Because we are like frogs in a well. Have you heard the analogy? I'm sure some of you must have heard the analogy. A frog in a small well cannot possibly imagine what is the expanse of the ocean. I'll not go into the story in detail, we don't have so much time. But sometimes because we have so much limited experience, we cannot really fathom. Actually, nobody can fathom fully the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna says, if you want to be firmly situated in devotional service, Arjuna, you must factually understand my glories and opulences. There's a nice story. Sometimes people think they know about the glories of God. So when we hear this story, we will realize our own position. So, when Lord Krishna appeared on this planet around 5000 years ago, he was residing in the city of Dwarka. And when he was residing in Dwarka, many, many great devatas used to come and visit him. Often, devatas like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, and so many others used to come. In fact, the doorkeepers of the palace, Daruka and others, had a tough time managing the queue. I don't know whether they had counter systems there, but they used to have their own system with a bench. This is not like Concord itself. They used to manage the line. Sometimes when there were too many devatas, then Daruka used to tell Varuna, you please come tomorrow. Today, too many visitors. So anyway, one day Lord Brahma, who is the Pitamaha, he is the grandfather, isn't it, of this world. He is the original creator of this universe. So he came to see Lord Krishna. And he told Daruka, please go and tell the Lord that Brahma has come to see him. I would like to have darshan of the Lord. He said, okay, let me go in and take permission. Of course, then Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva come, they get first priority. Whether the number on the counter is whatever. Great personalities are always given preference. So Lord Brahma was waiting. Daruka went in, he asked the Lord. He informed the Lord that, my dear Lord, Lord Brahma has come to see you. He wants your permission to come in and take your blessing. So Lord Krishna said, please go and ask him, which Brahma are you? Daruka said, okay, my Lord. He went and asked Brahma, that the Lord is asking, which Brahma are you? So Lord Brahma was confused. Which Brahma am I? What kind of question is this? I do not understand this question. Go and tell the Lord that I am the four-headed Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras. Okay, he goes back and tells the Lord. The Lord says, okay, send him in. So Lord Brahma comes in, offers his respectful obeisances. Lord Krishna asks him, is everything well? Is everything fine? Yes, my dear Lord, because of your presence, everything is going on very wonderfully. Everything is over, discussion is over, and the Lord, when Brahma is about to leave, he asks the Lord, oh Lord, may I ask you a question? Why is it that you said, you passed this message to Daruka, that is there, which Brahma has come? Is there anyone else besides me? Is there anyone else? I'm the one and only. Right? That's what Lord Brahma believed. I'm the one and only. So please explain this riddle, I cannot understand. So Lord Krishna smiled. And in his mind, he summoned from various universes, various Brahmas and Lord Shivas and Lord Indras from millions and millions of universes. They all appeared there suddenly, simultaneously together in that one room. Some of these Brahmas, it is explained, had 8 heads. Some had 16, some had 100, and some even more than that. In fact, thousands and even millions of heads. And when the Brahma of our universe, with 4 heads, saw these huge, powerful Brahmas with thousands of heads, and so many Lord Shivas and Lord Indra from so many universes, all came there and all started offering prayers to the Lord. He was struck with wonder. The amazing thing about this pastime was that none of the Brahmas, Shivas and Indras could see anybody else apart from themselves. They only thought, I am alone with Lord Krishna. Only our Brahma could see everybody else by the arrangement of the Lord. So he was like, wow, this is far out. This is cool. I never knew that there is something beyond me. So then, of course, Lord Brahma blessed, Lord Krishna blessed all the assembled devatas and he sent them back, and then he turned to all Lord Brahma and said, what do you think? So our Lord Brahma was feeling himself like a rabbit in the midst of a herd of elephants. He was feeling himself so insignificant. He said, my dear Lord, if others say that they know you or they know your greatness, let them say so. But as far as I am concerned, I am admitting today that I don't know anything about you. You are far, far, far beyond what I could fathom as your greatness. So why we are mentioning this pastime, just to give us a hint that actually the glories of the Lord are unlimited. So even Lord Brahma, whose knowledge is apparently unlimited, was humbled by the Lord by displaying him a tiny fragment of his opulence. So in this 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is emphasizing to Arjuna how he is manifesting in various ways in this universe. So by understanding his opulences, by being firmly convinced of his opulences, we can actually become firmly situated in devotional service. Actually, in the 10th chapter, as the devotees recited just a few minutes ago, the 10th chapter has a very beautiful feature, which is the Chatushloki, isn't it? The four shlokas, 10.8 to 10.11, isn't it? These four shlokas are considered to be the summary study of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So if you see how the Lord is actually explaining himself or the process of devotional service in these four verses, if you see in 10.8, what does the Lord say? Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam bhuta bhava samanvitaha. Arjuna, please understand that I am the source of all material and spiritual world. So this statement is the pinnacle of greatness. Okay? So Krishna is establishing his position as the greatest. Correct? If you are the original source of everything material and everything spiritual, nothing remains to be said. So 10.8, Krishna is establishing Jovi hu, Mehi hu. I am everything, isn't it? Elsewhere it says that everything rests on me as pearls are strung on a thread. What verse is that? What verse is that? Homework. Sarvam idam maya prutam sutre manigana iva. Everything rests on me, just like pearls are strung on a necklace. So in 10.8, Krishna is establishing his greatness. And 10.9, what does Krishna say in 10.9? Can you even recite 10.9 for me? Machitta matagata prana bodhayantascha parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam sushyanti charamanticha. The thought of my pure devotee is always well in me, and they are always conversing about me, and they get great pleasure in discussing about me, isn't it? So what is the Lord Krishna saying? That once we are convinced of 10.8, isn't it? Once we are convinced of 10.8, that Krishna is the boss. He is the only real superhero. Not Iron Man, or not Spider-Man, or no other man, okay? Only Krishna is the original, eternal, real superhero. When we are convinced, then what we will do? We will always, unendingly speak about him and relish talking about him. Just like people who are attached to film stars are always busy reading film magazines, they are talking gossip. Oh, you know, he was spotted today with this one, he was spotted today there, he is wearing this clothes, he is doing this. Everything that they do is spoken about. Where is this tendency coming from? Actually, this tendency is coming from the nature of the soul to actually talk and glorify God, glorify Krishna. So when one is convinced about 10.8, automatically one follows 10.9. Machitta, madagata, prana, they give their heart to Krishna, they are always talking about Krishna. And what happens when one always talk about Krishna? They attract Krishna's attention. Correct? When they are always talking, then what happens? What is 10.10? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam jadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. When somebody is always talking about Krishna, Krishna sees, oh, he wants to come to me, he wants to learn more about me. Let me give him the means by which he can come to me. I will help him. You go to Lakshminarayan temple, on Saturday evening. We give the intelligence in the heart. There you can learn more. Correct? Huh? Or you go here, you meet it. Like that, the Lord directs the living entities, He gives them intelligence to those who are interested and eager to talk about Him. But is it enough for us to know what we have to do to advance in Krishna consciousness? We may come here, we may get information, we may be told chant 16 rounds, read Srimad Bhagavatam, eat prasadam, so many things. But only those instructions are not sufficient. Only 10.10 following. Even though the Lord may give instruction, there is something else which we need from the Lord to make our life perfect. What is that? Teshama eva anukampartham aham ajnanajam samaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnanadipena bhasvata. O Arjuna, I will, from within the heart of the devotee, always trying to follow my instructions and glorify me, I will, out of my causeless mercy, with the shining lamp of transcendental knowledge, destroy the darkness of ignorance. What is that? This is mercy. This is kripa. Huh? So we may be following the instructions very hard, but that is not sufficient. Don't we all experience this? Sometimes we feel we are chanting for so many years, but still our material desires may temporarily subside, but one day they will pop up again. We think they are cut like the grass in the lawn. You mow the lawn, 1 week after vacation you come back, the grass is back. So material desires are like that. So ultimately one needs mercy. Krishna needs to tell Mayadevi, you have troubled him for a long time. Now he is joining my club. I am giving him PR in Goloka. I am going to offer him PR in Goloka, permanent residency. So please don't bother this devotee anymore. He is under my Antaranga Shakti. I want him to come under my internal energy. Don't bother him. So you see, 10.8 to 10.11, the Lord has so beautifully summarized the entire process of spiritual advancement. What is the first step? To be convinced of the glory of the Lord. This is very, very, very important. If we are not convinced of the glories of the Lord, then we will always do devotional service half-heartedly. This is the truth. This is the truth. We may say, yes, 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 Krishna is the Supreme. Yes, yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. He is the greatest. Yes, Prabhu. Huh? But deep down, I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe, you know, you will always become like those individuals who keep all pictures in their altar because they're not sure which one is the Supreme. And there was this one lady who used to keep all pictures. All the devatas, also so many personalities who are currently living in this world. And also Krishna was there. And when she was asked by everybody, why you are doing like this? You know, actually I think Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but just in case, insurance policy. Fall back. No. Ananya Bhakti. Unless you have Ananya Bhakti, you cannot achieve Krishna. You cannot have fallback for Krishna and hope to achieve Krishna. Sorry. Doesn't work. Ananya chintayanto maam ye jana paripasate tesham nityabhiyoktanam yogakshemam mahamyam. Ananya chintayanto. No other. Like if you tell a girl you are dating, actually you are number third. I am evaluating 1, 2, 3, 4. Will she be very happy to hear that? If you say, I love you only and you alone, you are my everything, without you I will die. Isn't it? So Krishna also expects undeviated, full surrender to Him. Sarva dharman parityaja mama ekam. He does not say one amongst many. Mam ekam sharanam raja. And if you do that, aham tvam sarva pape bhimukshishami maashita. I am there, no? I take care. No matter what accounts you may have in the past, it is my problem. I will settle the matter for you. Why? Because everyone else is under my jurisdiction. Aham adir hi devanam maharshi naam cha sarvachah. I am the source of all the devas and I am the source of all the maharshis. They may also not know my glory. Fully. So it's very important to understand 10.8 and talk always about the Lord, hear always about the Lord. In that association, the Lord will give us the right intelligence to make spiritual advancement. And when we apply that intelligence, buddhi yoga, what happens? The Lord bestows his mercy. Then all ignorance is dispelled. Krishna, Surya Sama, Maya, Haya, Andhakar. Jaha, Krishna, Sahi, Sahanahi, Maya, Adhikar. Wherever there is the son of Krishna, there is no darkness. Maya runs away. So, after these four verses that Krishna spoke, Arjuna asked, he understood, yes, I understood the process of Lord, but now please tell me 10.8 in more detail. How should I actually understand you as the Supreme and you are the Source? In what ways I can remember you in this world? Please tell me your opulences. He wants the Lord to explain, because for us, 10.8 is the most important. Of course, we have to practice, but unless we accomplish faith in the glories of the Lord, it's going to be very difficult. So sometimes people say they are chanting. But we have to understand, when we chant the holy names of the Lord, the result very much depends on the faith with which we chant the holy names. Chanting the names of Krishna is not a mechanical process. It is not that one mantra will give you one unit of spiritual advancement. That's why sometimes some people, even after chanting for 2 years, make so much advancement. And some people even chanting for 15 years, they're still struggling. Because Krishna responds to the faith, not simply to the mechanical chanting. So Krishna explains in this chapter in which ways you can remember him in this world. Actually, Krishna is full of 6 opulences, isn't it? Krishna is known as Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the one who possesses 6 opulences. Beauty, strength, intelligence, wealth, fame, renunciation. 6. Shadaishwarya Sampurna. In fact, Krishna is the most attractive. Krishna means atarshan. Attractive. Because he possesses these 6 opulences in full. In fact, Prabhupada says in one place, he says that whoever we see in this world who has extraordinary amount of any of these opulences, we should understand that they have been specially favored by the Lord. Even if we see somebody extraordinarily beautiful, what we should think? A Krishna conscious person thinks, the Lord has been especially merciful because he has bestowed small spark of the spark of his beauty within this person. So actually the Lord wants us to develop the vision by which we can perceive his glory, his beauty, his opulence manifesting in various ways in this world. In that way we can always think of the Lord, in that way we can always remember the Lord. So here in this verse in particular he's talking about the alphabet A. I am the alphabet A, because A is the basis of all language. If you don't have A or Akara, it's very difficult to say anything. And he is time, because time is that force of material nature which is all devouring. So in this way the Lord is explaining of how we can think of him. Actually, in some cases, the Lord especially bestows some individual with such an amount of opulence or a specific potency of his, that the person is not simply an ordinary living entity, is known as a Shaktyavesha avatar. Correct? Narad Muni is blessed with the bhakti shakti of the Lord. So he has become a Shaktyavesh avatar. Prithu Maharaj was given the special blessing of ruling over the earth. So in this way, sometimes living entities display extraordinary opulence by the blessings of the Lord. So I want to tell you one nice, beautiful pastime, one story about the greatness of the Lord. Sometimes people underestimate the greatness of the Lord. And this is a story from the Ramayana. It's a very interesting story. Maybe some of you may have heard. So this is the time when Lord Ram and Ravana were in duel. War was going on. And one after another, Ravana's soldiers and children and his relatives are getting killed. Initially Ravana thought, who is this Ram? Two human Banvasi, I will destroy them in no time. But later he started realizing, oh, these two are not as ordinary as I thought. They seem to be very powerful. At one time, he became very worried. So he realized, I cannot do this on my own. I need help. So I need to seek help from those who are my family members. So he decided for seeking help, because there was no one else as powerful as him on earth, he said he will travel to other planetary systems and seek help. Of course, one story we know of Ahiravan and Mahiravan. He summoned their help and of course they were killed. But another time he decided to go and seek help of Bali Maharaj. Have you heard of Bali Maharaj? Bali Maharaj is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And he is the one who received the mercy of Lord Vamana. And Lord Vamana blessed him and gave him the planet Sutala. That you become PR of Sutala, permanent resident. You stay here, I will be your doorkeeper. So Lord Vamana, out of his causeless mercy, took such a humble position as to be the guard at the entrance of Sutala, so that no one else, so you rule here peacefully, I will make sure you are peaceful, no problem for you. And after this Indra's tenure is over, you become the next Indra. Everything settled. So Ravana said, let me go and seek him. So he thought, from my family, Daitya, coming down from Hiranyakashipu, so close relationship is there. So somehow he will help me. So he went and he went to the door and he saw this dwarf, Vamanadev, going to and fro guarding the door. Said, oh Brahmana, I want to go in and see Bali Maharaj. Cannot go in. No entrance. Said, please move aside, I want to go in. You cannot go in without my permission. So Ravana tried to force his way in. So Vamanadev gave him one slap and fell down. Then he thought, I will sneak in somehow. So he tried to take a small form and tried to sneak in through the door. But Vamanadev kept his toe on him. He was being crushed. No, let me go. So then hearing the commotion, Bali Maharaj came out. What is going on? And Vamanadev told, this rascal is trying to gate crash. No one can gate crash here because I am the doorkeeper. Says, oh Ravana, you are here. What are you doing here? So he said, my dear relative Bali Maharaj, we are from the same family. We are intimately connected in our demoniac nature. So, I need your help. It is time of great calamity for our demoniac race, for the Rakshasas. You have to help me. How can I help you? Dear Ravana, says, see, actually I have a small problem. Small problem, then why you have come here? No, actually two men, two Rajkumars have attacked me. They have attacked my kingdom and they are threatening me and I am finding it tough somehow to defeat them. Who are these two humans? For Ravana to fight with two humans, we see. No, these are a little powerful. Somehow I am having a tough time. Who are they? Oh, they are actually the sons of Maharaj Dashrath. They are the princess of Ayodhya. Princess of Ayodhya? You're fighting with them? Why? Why is the enmity? Oh, nothing, I kidnapped his wife. Actually, Ravana was instructed, many, many people of his close relatives, including his wife, so many others, they told him, do anything else, don't do this. When he woke up, Kumbhakarna woke up. Kumbhakarna said, my dear brother, why you untimely woke me up? He said, no, small problem. These two brothers have come, they are fighting. Who are they? Ram and Lakshman. Huh? Ram and Lakshman, they never attack anybody without reason. Why have they come here? Oh no, I just kidnapped their wife. Again he hit his hand on his head. My dear brother, did you not find anybody else in this whole universe to kidnap? You had to do this only. Finished, I'm going back to sleep, you go. No, nothing can help you. If you want any help, please return, go back immediately, return his wife to him. Take shelter of him, surrender to him, then you have some hope. Because the Lord is known as Bhakta Vatsal. He will help you. But he didn't listen. So anyway, in this episode also he didn't listen. He said, okay. Okay, Ravana, come with me outside. I want to show you something. Come with me outside. Okay, come. Then they went out for a long while. They walked in a plain land. And after walking a while, Bali Maharaj told Ravana, Ravana, do you see that there shining something? Yes, what is that? Oh, that looks like gold. Oh, wow, that's a huge mountain of gold. Wow, isn't it good?
Yes.
This is mountain belongs to me. I am offering it to you. Take it. You are always eager for wealth. You are always eager for gold. Take it. But give up this foolish desire of fighting with Ram or kidnapping his wife. Don't do all this. Come, take this mountain. So Ravana was very proud of even moving Kailash. He went there to lift this mountain of gold. He tried very hard. No matter how hard he tried, he could not even move it. Then he told him, when he became tired, Bali Maharaj told him, come here, I want to show you something. Let us walk there. So they walked a distance. From another angle, he showed him the mountain. Ravana, what do you see now? He said, wow, this mountain is a little different. It is ring-shaped. Huge mountain, ring-shaped. Yes, it is ring-shaped, you are right. Do you know what this is?
No.
This is the earring of Hiranyakashipu. Earring of Hiranyakashipu. You know Hiranyakashipu? My father's father's father. Hiranyakashipu. His earring. Do you know what happened to him? He was effortlessly ripped apart from his abdomen by Lord Narsingha. Effortlessly ripped apart by Narsingha. And this person was effortlessly ripped apart by Narsingha. His earring also you cannot lift. His earring you cannot move, you fool. And the same Narsingha has come as Lord Ram. You think you are going to kill him? You cannot even move the earring of the person whom he effortlessly killed. You fool, you go back. Give up this crazy idea of fighting Lord Ram. You have no idea of the glory of the Lord. So, not everyone can actually understand and appreciate the glories of the Lord. It's a beautiful pastime. So the Lord has many wonderful, wonderful opulences. And it is very, very helpful for us to hear this pastime, contemplate on this pastime, to appreciate and worship our Lord. This is very, very enlightening to the soul to hear. Machitta madagada prana bodhayanta parasparam. This is the life and soul of devotees. Now the greatness of the Lord, the opulences of the Lord are wonderful. But besides his opulences, there is one another aspect of the Lord which is very, very attractive. In fact, that aspect of the Lord is even more attractive than his opulences, than his strength, than his beauty. Can you guess what that is? Yes? Mercy? Okay, what else?
Renunciation?
Renunciation. What else? What is more attractive than the Lord's power?
Name.
Yes. What else? The name contains all of the Lord's power. The name is not different from him. But sir, I'm talking about a specific attribute of the Lord, which is even more attractive to the devotees than his opulences. Or you can even call it one of the opulences of the Lord, which is not among these six. Okay, I'll not make you scratch your head too long. This opulence or wonderful attribute of the Lord is known as his sweetness. The Lord's Madhurya. In fact, initially the devotees may be attracted to the Lord by his opulences, but as they actually advance in devotional service, gradually the sweetness of the Lord overwhelms the attraction by opulence. That is Krishna. Krishna is full of Madhurya. Krishna's form has such beauty, such wonderful relationships with his devotees, such beautiful flute playing, that no other form of the Lord can match the sweetness which Lord Krishna produces. So Aishwarya or opulence is overwhelmed by Madhurya. And Madhurya charms the heart of the devotees. Opulence may put us in awe and reverence. This is that Ram, this is that Narsingha, wow. But sweetness charms our heart, steals our heart, isn't it? Huh? The sweetness of Krishna is very, very extraordinary. In fact, devotees, great devotees and our acharyas are always contemplating on the wonderful sweetness of Krishna. Mother Yashoda, she is always contemplating on the beautiful sweetness of Krishna. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavat is full of stories of the sweet, wonderful, sweet dealings between Krishna and his devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami, in a book which is a compilation of various verses known as Padyavali, he has included a very, very beautiful verse. I want to read that verse. This is in relation to sweetness, but it is a specific aspect of sweetness of the Lord which is explained. And this aspect of sweetness is very, very dear to all the devotees. So please hear this verse with attention. So here the devotee sings, Dinabandhu iti nama te smaran Yadavendra patitoham utsahe Bhaktavatsalataya Atvai Shute Mamakam Ridayam Ashrukam Pate. So the devotee thinks, Dinabandhu Iti Nama Tetmaran. O Lord, whenever I remember that your name is Dinabandhu. What does Dinabandhu mean? Dina. Dina means fallen. Bandhu means the friend. O Lord, whenever I remember that your name is Dinabandhu, or friend of the fallen, Yadavendra, O Yadavendra, O Lord of the Yadus, Patitoham Utsahe, even though I am very fallen, I became immediately enlivened and ecstatic, I become very happy. Why? Because I am Dina, I am fallen, and you are Dinabandhu, you are the friend of the fallen. So, I immediately feel so much hope. Huh? So the devotee becomes very excited when he hears the name Dina Bandhu. But what excites the devotee more? Bhakta Vatsala Taya Tvahi Shrute. But when I hear, O Lord, about how you are Bhakta Vatsal, how you are extremely affectionate to your devotees, Mamakam Hridayam Ashru Sampate, my heart is overwhelmed, and all my hairs are standing on end, my heart is shaking and quivering, and tears are coming from my eyes. So, O Lord, whenever I hear that you are the friend of the fallen, whenever I hear about you as Bhakta Vatsal, as extremely affectionate to the devotees, I become very overwhelmed. This is a very, very sweet verse. And this aspect of the Lord is extremely attractive, extremely dear to the devotees. Isn't it? If the Lord is a person who is great, wonderful, fine. But what is it for me? Isn't it? If he is distant there and I am here and I have no relation, when does something become wonderful? When there is a sweet relationship, then everything becomes wonderful. So the Lord has extremely sweet, wonderful relationship with his devotees. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavat is full of the sweet, wonderful relationship that the Lord has with his devotees. So this quality of the Lord is especially glorious and is our hope. That the Lord is Dina Bandhu and the Lord is Bhakta Vatsal. So I'm going to tell you one pastime. We have another 5-10 minutes. I'm going to tell you one pastime before we end. And we'll end with a moral for that pastime. So this pastime is about the Lord's nature as Bhakta Vatsal. So how much the Lord is affectionate to his devotees? Sometimes we do not actually understand this. Sometimes we get a feeling, oh, the Lord is there in Goloka, he is having a good time, he doesn't know how I am suffering here. I am suffering, he is not bothered. No, no. We actually do not understand how much the Lord is hankering to bring us back. How much actually he loves each and every living entity. We will never understand. But maybe we can increase our level of understanding. We cannot fully understand how much the Lord loves us. So I tell you a beautiful pastime. Actually, we celebrated Narasimha Chaturdashi recently, and one of the things maybe you may not know, amazing aspect, when Lord Narasimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, and he killed him, even after he tore him, he didn't stop there. He went on tearing him, and he started taking all his intestines, and he put them around his neck. Have you heard this pastime? So people say he was already killed. Why he was digging into his bowels and tearing him and taking out intestines? So some acharyas explained a very wonderful way. Why the Lord did like that? So the Lord was thinking. This is what the acharyas explained. I don't know. I'm just repeating what the acharyas are saying. The acharyas explained that the Lord was thinking, this is Hiranyakashipu. And from this Hiranyakashipu's body, Prahlad has been born. This great devotee Prahlad, whom I love so much, more than my very life, for whom I have come. Can you imagine? The Lord is so Bhakta Vatsal, he took a special incarnation for one person. For one person. He didn't come back because so many others were tormented. He came for Prahlad. I cannot tolerate the misery of Prahlad. I am going to rip Hiranyakashipu. So why he was telling, he was thinking that this person, from his body, Prahlad has come, and in his great ecstatic love, he was staring to see if there is another person like Prahlad inside. Just staring. We cannot actually fully understand this mood and behavior of the Lord. But this is how the acharya is feeling. He was staring out his intestine and seeing. Why? Because he is so much desirous to see his wonderful dear devotees. That maybe there is another person. So he was staring him. So anyway, I'll tell you a beautiful pastime. This pastime is from the Mahabharata. This is a pastime where Lord where the battle of Kurukshetra was going on. And in the battle, we know that Abhimanyu was killed in an improper manner. When Abhimanyu was killed by Jayadratha, Arjuna took a vow. What vow did Arjuna take? I will kill Jayadratha by tomorrow sunset, otherwise I will enter fire and commit suicide. So when he took that vow, what did Krishna do? Krishna put his hand on his head. He went and chastised Arjuna. Arjuna, why you Kshatriyas are so eager to take vows? Oh Krishna, I am sorry, what to do? I have already taken vow. Now you have to help, do something. Always you put a problem on me. Never mind. So that night, everywhere is dark, two camps. In this camp, there is a tent of Krishna, tent of Arjuna. In Arjuna's tent, the light is off, Arjuna is sleeping peacefully. Very peacefully. Krishna's tent, light is on. So no camera goes into Krishna's tent. Krishna is lying on his bed. He is turning from one side to another side. On his pillow. He cannot sleep. Suddenly Krishna gets up from his bed. This Arjuna, always he does all things like this. How is he going to kill Jayadratha tomorrow? It's such a difficult thing. And also I have taken this vow that I cannot lift weapons. How is Arjuna going to be saved? Krishna got up from his bed, started pacing around the tent, to and fro. Tomorrow definitely all the Kaurava generals will be in front of Jayadratha. They will not let Arjuna pass through. And no matter what Arjuna does, he doesn't have the prowess to. You cannot defeat Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Duryodhan, Ashwatthama, Kritavarma, Kripacharya, all of them and go past and kill Jayadratha. What to do? So he was facing about for a long time. You can see how Krishna is so much worried for his devotee. Of course, we should not think that Krishna is like an ordinary human being. Krishna is doing this pastime simply to make us realize how much he is actually affectionate to his devotee. Krishna doesn't need to do all these things. Okay? We should not misunderstand that Krishna is an ordinary human being. He is doing this just to make us understand. So he is pacing around and he is thinking what to do. But no matter, somehow, by Yoga Maya's influence, no matter how hard Krishna tried to think, he couldn't figure a way out. And he became frustrated transcendentally. So he went and sat on his bed. What to do? Then finally he said, I know what to do. And he immediately summoned for Daruka, who is his servant and his charioteer. He said, Daruka, come here. So immediately Daruka came. Yes, my lord, how can I serve you? Daruka, tomorrow in the battlefield, Arjuna will try to kill Jayadratha. He will try to kill Jayadratha, but if by evening sunset, if he is not able to kill Jayadratha, then he will have to enter fire. And if he enters fire and he dies, if my devotee dies, what purpose I have to be in this world? If my dear devotees leave me and go, I have no business being here. I am coming here to give pleasure to the devotees. To destroy demons, I don't have to come personally. That I can do through my energy. But I am coming here to wonderfully associate with my devotees and to give them pleasure. If Arjuna goes away, my dearmost friend, what purpose will I have to live here in this world? I will go back to my abode. So Daruka, I am telling you this today. Listen carefully. Tomorrow, when you come to the battlefield, you be ready with my chariot. In my chariot, make sure you bring all my weapons. Bring my kamodi mate, bring my saranga bow, bring my sudarshan chakra, bring my sword, bring all my weapons and be ready. Don't come in the battlefield, be ready. If by sunset Arjuna is unable to kill Jayadratha, then at the time of sunset I will play my panchajanya conch in the fifth note, in the, I think, Rishabha note this is. When I play my conch in that note, immediately you should come in the middle of the battlefield with my chariot and with all my weapons. I will personally sit on the chariot and with all my weapons, I will personally slay all the Kauravas. I will not leave even one alive. Because if Arjuna doesn't survive, I will not let one person live. I will personally destroy each and every one of them. You go and you wait for my instruction. And then Krishna said, okay, now I know what to do. And then he went and took rest peacefully. So what does this show? This shows that the Lord is even willing to break his own promise, willing to suffer infamy, if it means protecting his devotees, because he loves his devotees so very much. We cannot imagine. If only we knew, then we wouldn't actually look for affection within material relationships. If only we knew. But by hearing this beautiful pastime, we can get some glimpse. Of course, Krishna ultimately did not do that. Through this pastime, he demonstrated how, to what extent he is willing to go. Ultimately, he used the Sudarshan Chakra to cover the sun. And finally, he told Arjuna to kill Jayadrath with the arrow. That's what he did finally. But this shows to what extent Krishna is willing to go for his devotee. He will even break religious principles sometimes. Why? Because he is the transcendental autocrat. So the devotees of the Lord are actually so very dear to the Lord. That's why it is said, if we want to be dear to the Lord, there are two ways to be dear to the Lord. One is we become so pure that Krishna is attracted to us. How many of us are so pure that Krishna is attracted to us? Can we raise our hands? So that is a very difficult path to attract Krishna's attention. But there is an easier way to attract Krishna's attention. If we become the humble servants of those who are extremely dear to Lord Krishna, immediately we come within his vision. Who is this? Devakinandan Prabhu. Devakinandan Prabhu is serving Sajnas Mahavishnu Goswami, who is my very, very dear devotee. I must shower my heartfelt blessing to Devakinandan Prabhu. You get the idea? So sometimes we may not be able to directly attract the attention of the Lord, but by becoming the servants of his devotees. And why this is so? It is because the Lord is so eager out of his great love and affection for his pure devotees he loves them so much that he wants them to serve them in some way or the other. But the pure devotees are very, very careful. They say, we will not allow the Lord to serve us. We are the servant. We will always serve the Lord. So this is the Lord's problem. The Lord's problem is, how will I find a way to serve my pure devotee? Because the devotee is very clever. He will not give Krishna a chance to serve him. So when Krishna sees that this devotee is serving my pure devotee, he says, wow, this person is so fortunate and so wonderful. He is doing something which I am not able to do. So Krishna feels so indebted to a servant of a pure devotee that he gives him full blessings. So this is how we can actually attract the mercy of the Lord. So in summary, it is important to understand the opulence of the Lord, and especially amongst all the opulences, the most attractive opulence is the sweetness, amongst which bhakta vatsalata is something which is especially wonderful. So we should always think of the Lord as bhakta vatsal. We should always have faith that the Lord will always protect us and always be our well-wishing friend and guide. Surudam sarvadehinam. What is the word? Bhuktaram yagatapasam sarvalokamaisharam surudam sarvadehinam gyalpa ma shanti ruchati. So thank you very much. We will stop here. Hare Krishna. So any questions, comments? For 5 minutes we can take any questions, comments. Any corrections?
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Adirhi Devana Maharshinam Sarvasha. I am the source of the demigods and even the great sages. Even they do not know me fully. So the problem is, if Krishna doesn't tell about himself, nobody else can fully know. That is the problem. Because Krishna is unlimited, Krishna is Adokshaja, there is no way for the infinitesimal Jiva to fully grasp the glories of the unlimited Vibhu. The Anu cannot understand the Vibhu by its own endeavor. Only when the Vibhu reveals himself to the Anu, then he can understand that too to some extent. Correct? So it is actually not Krishna's bragging, it is Krishna's mercy. For example, I have two small children. If I tell my children, if I tell them, you know, that you have to, you know, your father knows this, you have to follow your father's instruction, you have to do whatever he tells, that is not ego. So if I tell my children, you have to follow my instruction, you have to be respectful to me, you have to follow whatever I say, is that ego? No. That is the way that the parents express their mercy towards the child, because through that means the child will remain protected. Correct? Similarly, the Lord, out of his affection for his devotee, he is giving or describing his opulences so that the devotees can understand, and when they understand, it is for their welfare. Like Prahlad Maharaj explains in the Srimad Bhagavat, Nate Viduhu, Swartha Gatim Hi Vishnu. Do not think that by worshipping Vishnu, Vishnu is benefited. That's why the Bhagavatam also says that Krishna is neutral to everybody. Equally disposed even to demons and devas. But of course, those who worship him with love, he reciprocates with love. Does it answer your question?
My friend gave me the argument like that. Sun doesn't need to show that he is giving the light. So why Krishna himself need to tell that he is the creator of all these universes and is the master of all that?
Because we are in darkness. Even though Krishna's opulence is so vividly present in front of us, we are in so much illusion that we need to be woken up. How is it that by even seeing this most complicated world with such a human body so amazing, so complicated, still people believe that it can come out automatically? How we don't see it? How we can still see that it is coming automatically? That means we are in so much illusion. We are in illusion. Krishna says that, he explains about Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam is like the noonday sun. But because our vision is covered by the cloud of ignorance, we cannot see. The problem is not with the light, the problem is with our vision. What does this vision mean? The vision means our spiritual vision. Because we are covered by the false ego, we cannot see the obvious glory of the Lord. Actually it is obvious. Actually the glory of the Lord is obvious. Our every breath, our body, our digestion, we put the food in the mouth, do you know what happens? We have to give instructions how to digest? No. Everything needful is done. And whatever is wasted, the arrangement is there, urge will come, whatever is not needed, throw it out. So wonderfully the Lord has maintained everything. The Lord's glory is actually seen everywhere. That is why pure devotee sees the Lord everywhere. He sees Lord's opulence, Lord's energy working so wonderfully. So we are in ignorance. We are factually unable to see. If we were able to see, we would all see pure devotees all around. Because Krishna says, he who factually understands my glories, he will definitely become unalloyed devotee. Okay, so we need to hear from Bhagavatam so that we can be fully convinced and understand the glories of the Lord. Does that answer your question? Any other comments or questions? we know now, because of episodes like this, where it was revealed. See, Brahma is not all-knowing. There is nobody all-knowing except the Supreme Personality of God. When we say that the soul is perfect, he is full in knowledge, which means he is fully self-realized. He understands, he is fully a spirit soul, he understands his relationship with the Supreme Lord. But nobody can understand the Supreme Lord in full, or the glories of the Supreme Lord in full. Even the Lord himself cannot fully understand his glory. That is his glory. So it's not possible for us to understand. So through pastimes like this, the Lord reveals his glory. To reveal his glory, he sometimes uses his pure devotees. Sometimes he puts his pure devotees into such situations of ignorance just to glorify them and to spread transcendental knowledge. So whether he actually never knew or he knew, we may not know, but that is not important for us to know. Whether he knew or he was like Arjuna, he is a perfect devotee. Why did he get into ignorance? It was because he was a nimitta to expound the Bhagavad Gita. Correct? So sometimes the Lord may use certain great devotees, like the Brahma Vimohan Leela. He was bewildered Brahma. So the Lord uses great devotees to set forth great lessons for the common devotees to follow, to understand. So the point that the Lord was trying to make, no matter, even if you are as high and as intelligent as Brahma, do not think you know everything. That is the lesson. Correct? So for great examples like this, the Lord will usually use his great confidential associates. Sometimes they may even be apparently proud, but all these are leelas. We should understand that they are all pure. But the living entity never has 100% knowledge of everything. Correct? He is full of knowledge. Full of knowledge means fully self-realized. Doesn't mean only fully knowledgeable about everything. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Chandra Shiva Bhagavad Gita ki. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Shri Kirtan. Devkinandan Prabhu ki. So please forgive me for any faults. So we do Kirtan Prabhu. 5 minutes, 10 minutes.